I want to thank you, Lord God, that we can stand here, Lord God, and raise our hands and worship you and praise you, Lord God. And Father, thank you that we can feel your presence here, Lord God, that you are among us, Lord God, that you dwell here in this house, Lord God. And Lord God, as Jaco has said, Lord God, Lord Holy Spirit, thank you that you teach us, Lord, and that you will minister to us, Lord. And Lord, I just want to die to myself this morning, Lord God, and say, let your will be done and let your kingdom come, Lord God. It's all about you, Lord God, and about glorifying your name, Lord God. And we are small and insignificant in many ways, Lord. But Lord, you are perfect. You are God Almighty, Lord. And thank you, Lord God, that we can wake up in the morning, Lord, and that we can know that we can be your sons and daughters, that we can stand in the relationship with you, Father God. And Lord God, I want to pray for this church, Lord, our sister church here in Swakopmund, Lord. And Lord, thank you for all the good news about Swakopmund Chafa, Lord, and that you are blessing this church and that you are enlarging its territory, Lord God. And Father, I want to pray this morning, Lord God, for the leaders here, Lord God, and for the elders, Lord God, and for every zone coach, Lord God, every ministry leader, even the people packing the chairs, Lord, everyone is important to you. And Lord, I want to bring every marriage before you, Lord God, every young child, Lord. And I want to pray, Lord, that you'll bless, Lord God, that you will provide, Lord, that your hand will be with them, Lord God, and that they can be a church of living waters. Thank you that they are a church of living waters here in Swakopmund, and that people will know, Lord God, that they can come to Shofar Swakopmund, Lord God, to meet Jesus Christ, Lord, and that it's here where lives can be changed, Lord, where you will heal the sick, Lord God. I pray it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Can I tell you a joke? It just came to my mind, you know, for 3 years now, I'm the pastor in Windhoek, and, you know, I said, you know, so I've been preaching in English. Now, I had lots of fears to speak in front of people when I was young, and I think God's got a good sense of humor in that way. He many times he used people that really don't want to talk in front of people to talk, but you know, so I had to learn to speak the English, okay? And for the past 3 years, I've been speaking English in Windhoek, and I won't say I'm a good Englishman now, but my English has improved a lot. And this morning for the first service, it was the first time in about 3 years that I had to preach Afrikaans. And I was actually worried about it because I got so used to saying grace and salvation and baptism and all those words that is very nice actually to use and to preach on. So I was a little bit actually worried about my Afrikaans, but thanks to God, you know, and His grace, it went well. But, you know, growing up as a very Afrikaans person, I remember once in 2005, me and my wife, I think we were engaged then, Maritza, we were driving there in South Africa. We were on our way to a wedding, and as usual, we were a little bit late. I don't know why. And as a good man, you know, I refused to show my weakness and to show her. I didn't know exactly where we should be, and I was actually a little bit lost, but didn't stop for advice. You know, I'm still making a good impression on this beautiful lady. And fortunately, we got to the place, and it was one of those very nice golf estates with all the security, and now we were very late, and you know, I used my best English there, and Maritza still laughs about it. I turned down my my window, and the security guard asked my name, and I just told him, listen, we're in a hurry here. We are here for a marriage. You know, and the wrong words jumped out, and Maritza just laughed and thought, like, this must be the guy I must marry. So if there's a marriage and a wedding or something I get wrong today, please still love me. But listen, yeah, what's on my heart, I really believe it's significant, and I got some confirmation for it. And, you know, in the week I spoke to Jaco, and I said, Jaco, is there anything specific you want me to preach on? You know, that was maybe a week or what ago. And Jaco said, no, you know, pray, and, you know, what God shows you, please come and preach it. And, you know, I did that, and I preached this sermon about in April in Windhoek. And already then, I felt like whenever I'm going to preach in Swakop again, I feel I must share this with you guys. And then on the Thursday, I phoned Jaco. I said, Jaco, I feel I'm gonna share on prayer. And he said, you're stealing my topic. And he said, you know, they you guys were praying, and I think maybe an intercession, and that was also a topic that was on your hearts. So this morning, I'm not gonna try and explain everything regarding prayer to you. I'm not gonna give you the A to Z. There's Bible school. Maybe your pastor will go on with this topic, but we'll leave that to the Holy Spirit. I just want to share a few things, you know, and I asked it in the, well, I said it in the previous sermon, you know, I don't pray enough. I know I can pray more. I know I can pray a lot more. And I'm not going to ask you to put up hands this morning, but if you can say you pray enough, maybe you do. I mean, there's people that pray a lot of time, but I believe most of us can pray more. And it sounds like a cliche. It sounds like something, you know, we all say to each other. It's like you can give more. There's many things we can do more. But I want to sow a seed this morning, and I want to encourage you guys as a church to just pray more. Amen. So what I'm going to start off, or just a little testimony, you know, as you saw my three kids, they are young. The two boys, they go to the primary school, the pre-primary school a few days in a week. And, you know, many times when it's winter time, especially in Windhoek, there's bugs and viruses all around. And when one kid gets it, usually all of them get it. You know, it's now middle September, and not me or Maritza or one of the kids were either sick for one day or we went to the doctor. You know, and I believe it's a testimony. I want to give God glory for that this morning. And it's for two reasons. I know I'm the strong man, and I'm praying every day the blood of Jesus Christ over my family. That's one thing. And the other one is I know there's people in my church that are praying for us as a family. You know, I said it in a previous sermon, and I don't want to say that all the time. I said it in the previous sermon because it's the same one. But, you know, when you are drunk in the gutters and you are there laying wasted, basically, then the devil's got you where he wants you to be. He wants you to be destroyed. He doesn't love us. He hates us. Did you know that? Devil hates us. He wants to destroy us. Okay? And but when we go forward for God, when we start to grow, it's then when he, I don't know how his system works, but he kind of zooms in and he wants to distract us or lure us away. The scripture talks about the snares of the devil, the things that we should avoid. Okay? And I know you guys must especially pray for your elders. Pray for the leaders in church. They need it the most. All of us need prayer. But pray for them. Intercede for their marriages or weddings. Or pray for the children. Pray for the young believers. It's so important that we cover each other in prayer. It's really important. So I really glorify God because I know it's not anything I do right that I can say we haven't been sick. I just believe it's because a lot of prayer. So what I want to do is, as a little bit of a foundation this morning, I want to share a few quotes that I got. And I believe it's really significant. If you want to, you can ask me afterwards. I can give it to you. I can email it to you. Put it in your office. Put it at home or where you work, in your car. And I want to share some of it with you. The first one is Martin Luther. And maybe some of you have heard it before. He said, "If I fail to spend 2 hours in prayer each morning, the devil gets the victory through the day. I have so much business I cannot get on with spending 3 hours daily in prayer." Now, how many times did it happen to all of us sometime that you see it's 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock and then you think like, I haven't had quiet time. I haven't prayed. Maybe it's just me when I was young. Maybe you guys aren't like that. But it happens sometimes that things are just rushed. I haven't been a pastor for always. I worked for a few years, studied for a few years. And it does happen sometimes that for some reason, especially when we are young and we don't hear God's voice that nicely, we just kind of go on. And Martin Luther is saying, yeah, I'm not going to make it through the day if I don't spend a lot of time in prayer. You agree with me this morning? Amen. You do? Okay, thank you. The second one, Satan does not care how many people read about prayer if only he can keep them from praying. So I'm going to talk about prayer this morning, and hopefully you will learn something. But that's not what I'm trying to do this morning. I want to challenge you to pray more. Okay? Not rocket science. It's straightforward. You all know we should pray. But to pray more. To pray right. Corrie ten Boom said, "Don't pray when you feel like it. Have an appointment with the Lord and keep it. A man is powerful on his knees." Amen. Then, "I would rather teach one man to pray than 10 men to preach." It's so important that we get that right. And the next one is Reinhard Bonnke. He said, "Evangelism without intercession is like a bomb without a detonator. Intercession without evangelism is like a detonator without a bomb." If we want to go out, we should pray before. And to pray and not go out is also not a good thing. We should do both. I share the example. We've got a guy in our church in Windhoek. He blesses me so much. Marius, he built a cross, a huge 2-meter cross. He puts it in his little car. And Saturday mornings, we have evangelism. Not to try and tell the people of Windhoek, you are sinners, you're going to hell. He just go to a parking lot, take out the cross, and people just spontaneously come to him or the team. They come to us. And there's opportunity to share the gospel. Okay? But we have on Tuesday mornings and Tuesday afternoons, we've got intercession. We had a challenge. We always did it in the morning. But for some people, it's just tough to get there early morning. Okay? So I thought, I'm going to be a good pastor, and now I'll be there in the afternoon as well. 5:45, we pray as well. You know, and you can't make a mistake to pray more. You can't. Okay? We can just pray more. And that is, as I said, that's something I believe we're getting right. You know, the balance between praying and going out. If you have interceded and you go out, God's going to bless it. I mean, then the man who mobilizes the Christian church to pray will make the greatest contribution to world evangelization in history. Andrew Murray said that. So I'm trying to say a few things here this morning regarding prayer that hopefully it will, you know, it will be something in your spirit. I see there's a lot of young people. Yeah, and I shared, you know, when I was young, I remember walking to school. And since I was a boy, when I get on the farm or in nature, you know, I just spontaneously want to pray. It's just thank you, Lord, because I enjoy nature so much. I remember in my second year of studies, there was in the place where I stay, there was a girl. She always wear black. And I remember the one day we had a conversation in a group and she just said she hates nature. I thought, like, you're mad. How can you say that? God made it. It's beautiful. You know, but I don't know, but something must have gone wrong there, I believe. Because if you hate nature, then you hate God, in my eyes. Okay? And I remember always when I walked to school, my dad dropped me and I walked a certain part or road, you know, I spoke to God and I prayed and I tried to figure many things out, but it was a kind of a bit of a one-way conversation. I didn't ever feel that God was really answering my questions or the things. You know, my mom died when I was 16 years old and I had a lot of questions. How does this work, God? You're a God of love. That type of a thing. And I didn't feel God gave me exactly the answers and stuff. You know, but later, 6 years later, when I was 22, I got born again. I got saved, spirit-filled. And today, you know, I know God speaks to us. He loves to speak to his sheep. Okay, he loves to speak to all of us. Not just the pastors or the elders, but to the young. This morning, I know it will go good with me in the pulpit because my little 3.5-year-old boy prayed for me. When we were driving here, I said, Gustav, will you pray for Dad? And he's like, mm-mm. Okay, but he's a little bit more of an introvert. So it's great. He's still young. And Alvin just said something short, like a one-liner, like, Lord of Jesus, wees met papa. Of, you know, Lord Jesus, bless my dad. Something like that. And I know it's powerful. It's blessed, you know. He was praying for his dad, and I believe kids, their hearts are so pure. Many times at the dinner table, I'll tell them, listen, do you want to say thank you to Jesus for the food? And they just say, thank you, Jesus, for the food. Amen. And it's great. I love it. Okay? But we need to teach our children, of course, to learn to pray as well. And then, maybe one of my favorite quotes, the second last one I'm going to share with you, it says, if the church wants a better pastor, it only needs to pray for the one it has. And I love it, okay? But it also goes for your husband, for your boss, for your for anyone, okay? Many times we think something will improve if we get another pastor, if we get a better boss or anything. But just pray for the one that you have, okay? Pray for your wife, pray for your husband. There's a blessing in that. And as I said, I know many of the sheep in my church, the people are praying for us as a family. We need it so much. And therefore, I can testify on that. And then the last one, God isn't as much interested in the words we pray than the heart that we pray from. Now, I remember when I was a young Christian, when I came to Shofar Christian Church in Stellenbosch, age 22, I remember I said, I'll go to the first year camp. Okay, and the guys in the early morning, they came together, they prayed for the first year camp. Yo, and I thought these people are weird, because they prayed the blood of Jesus and they agreed on this. And it was so much different than my humble little prayers that said, Lord, thank you for the day. Thank you for my dad. Now, it's not wrong, but I was very young in my prayer life. Today, when I pray differently because I've grown since then. But you know, the heart that you pray with, I preached 3 or 4 times on prayer, okay? And the one time it was about Hannah in scripture. And you know, she so earnestly wanted a child. She prayed and prayed, you know? And I said, many, if I tell my wife, you look nice, she's not gonna like that, you know? But if I say, yoch, my skat, you're like prachtig, you look beautiful today. And I, you know, then she lightens up and everything is good. So it's just an example, you know, those little rhymes, or rhymes, how do you say it? I don't want to say it's wrong, but pray with compassion and pray with something deep in your heart. If you want something, speak to God about it. Don't just say, please, God, I want this. You understand what I say? Okay, so prayer is definitely two-way communication. You can go and read in Jonah 2:2. You will see throughout Scripture, we have Scripture because God speaks to His people. That's really important. Now, if the first Scripture I want to read to you is from 1 Thessalonians. It will be up there as well. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 to 18. And it says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Pray without ceasing. Okay, so if you ever wondered if it's a good thing or the right thing, maybe you young guys, if you thought like, how much should I pray? Pray without ceasing. Okay, now firstly, I believe there's something like to be dependent on God. If you say, I can just go on without prayer, you basically say, I don't need God. But if you say, I constantly want to pray without ceasing, okay, you say, I need God in everything, like Martin Luther said. Okay, and then secondly, you know, if we, let me just get my point, sorry. It's something that we shouldn't just pray, make time to pray. If you don't schedule, you can drive in your car, when you jog, you can pray anytime. But sometimes it's good to close your door, to make some time, to put off the television and have like a date with God, to where it's a little bit quiet. Many times when I'm driving, you know, many of you adults, we are busy, we work, there's kids and things like that. When I drive in my car or when I go to walk with the dogs, that's actually my first priority prayer time. I enjoy that. But sometimes you must just seclude yourself a little bit, maybe walk to the sea, go to nature, and just speak to God, you know, block out all the little noises of the world we're living in. That's also a good thing. But we pray often, make different times of prayer. Be constantly aware that we should pray. Pray without ceasing. And then third, that it's important, me and Yaku talked about it last night, you know, it also means that we shouldn't just give up. Many times you are trusting for a family member, you're trusting for something for the church, for other family, you're standing in a gap for your wife or your husband or the husband-to-be maybe, you know, and after a year or two, it really becomes a long time and you feel like, well, maybe God forgot about it or something. But continue praying without ceasing, you know. Don't give up. That uncle of yours, that father of yours, that still hasn't come to God, continue praying for him. Don't leave it. Don't give up. Okay? Now, the second scripture I want to read to you is from Romans 15, verse 31. It will be up there as well. And this is Paul here. He's one of those figures in scripture. I've never done it, but I think we can talk for hours and hours on him, his ministry, his strong points, his weaknesses, which he certainly had. He said it himself. Now, Paul started here in Romans 15, verse 30, and he said, now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you stir together with me in praise to God for me, that I may be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints. So he's asking for two things. He's saying, through the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, please pray for me. I beg you. Now, many times, you know, I'll use the example with respect. Someone like Pastor Fred. You know Pastor Fred May, our senior pastor in Stellenbosch. He's been here before. You know, I think like your Fred maybe just prays and then, you know, everything will happen because I honor him. I'm a kind of a son of him. I was a young boy when he preached and you know, since I went the first time to Shofar there in Stellenbosch, I never looked back. You know, I knew that was where I need to be planted. Okay? But when we look at mature people, they will tell you, we need God more. We need prayer just more. Because when you maybe a bit arrogant and young, you think I can do things in my own strength and maybe you'll manage for a while. But you know, you will always fall. God will arrange something in your life that you will come back to Him, that you will say, I bow my knee, God. Lord, I need you in everything I do. And Paul is writing here and he say, I appeal to you. Let me read to you the Amplified Bible, the verse, and he said, I appeal to you, I entreat you, brethren, for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, by the love. And the fact is, the point I want to make is, he's asking for help. He's asking for two things. That the guys in Judea, that the mob there, as we're going to see a bit later, that they won't hurt him, that they won't end his ministry by stoning him. You know, it's very nice coming from Windhoek to Swakopmund. Jaco opened their house. They gave us food, place to sleep, nice showers. But that was not what Paul got when he traveled from one town to the other. He was asking and telling the church here in Rome, listen, guys, in Rome, 2,000 kilometers away, please pray for me. I beg you, because I'm scared. Now, this is Paul speaking. It's not a two-year-old child. This is a mature Christian. Okay? So, that's something that I just want to leave with you. Whether you're young or old in the Lord, we all need to pray a lot, and we all need help all the time. Okay? So Paul is asking there for those two things that he wants to get help for. Now, I'll use the example. Say, for instance, we are here this morning, and for some reason, Jaco, your Jaco van Rooyen there at the back, he neglected to come to church. He's at home. Jaco phones me and he say, Pastor Carl, will you please come and pick me up? And I will say, yes, sure. And I can get to my car, drive to his home, come back. Then Jaco got from there to here. You agree with me? But if I say, 15 of you guys, plus my wife and 3 kids, get in the car, we all go to Yaku's place, we all bring him back. It's the same thing for Jaco. He still got from there to here. Now, why did Paul ask the church in Rome to pray with him? Why couldn't he just pray on his own? I mean, God is good, God is mighty, God is awesome, God is God. So, why did he ask the other guys to help him? And the thing is, friends, it's not about us. It's not about me and you and my prayers and my needs and what I need today. Okay? It's about God. And it's about glorifying God. Okay? So the more people, I saw you are writing your names on a list. You're looking for a venue or a property or something. Okay? So probably most of you are praying for that. Okay? So when God moves, and I'll pray with you, I trust and I speak it, that you will get that place or a venue or a property or something else. Okay? When you trust for that, you agree on that and you pray for that, there's more people to glorify God. And that's what it's about. God is in the business of glorifying Himself through His Son. It's not about, yes, God loves us, we are His children, and He opens doors for us, and He does many things. But primarily, God needs to be glorified. Okay? One day in heaven, we're going to worship God. We are worshiping now. I mean, your praise and worship is awesome in both services. What are you doing there? Are you just using your voice and something to do something? No, we are here to worship God. We praise Him. We sang the one song. It's about worshiping God, giving honor and glory to Him. And when we pray for something, the more people are praying for that thing, and when the breakthrough comes, the more people can glorify God. Amen. You're with me this morning. Okay, you're not thinking about the rugby. Okay, I'm not. For a second, I was now. Okay, so it's really, we see it in 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians, I've got all the scriptures printed here, so I'm just going to read it for you. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 10 to 11. And God will yet deliver us. You also joining in helping us through your prayers that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed upon us through the prayers of many. That's the point I want to make. Through the prayers of many. Okay? They are thanking. The more people that can say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Because we know God's presence is here this morning. Scripture says so. Where two or more comes together. Okay? Now, if there's five or six of us, will there be no more God or less God? No, God's presence is here. It's like a constant. Okay? But the more of us that are praying for something, the more we can glorify God. For every new salvation, for every new baptism, for every new believer joining the body of Christ throughout all the churches in Swakopmund, Namibia, and the world, God is glorified. God is blessed, you know. Every time I say, thank you, Lord, for my family. Thank you for giving me another day in life. Okay? I'm glorifying God. I'm saying, thank you, Father, for what you are helping me with. In John 14, verse 13, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. That part we know very well. But it says that the Father may be glorified in the Son. We ask, we pray that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So that's something I want to leave with you this morning. When we pray, remember that we pray, it's more blessed to give, to receive, Scripture says. So I believe the more we pray outward, the more we pray for other people, people that doesn't know the Lord. You know, we give, it's more blessed to, you know, and for every prayer that comes to part, or how do you say, you know, God can be glorified. And you know, friends, we shouldn't, many times you trust God for, say, a new car or a car. You get your car, okay? And then 2 or 3 weeks later or a month later, it's just a car. But we still need to say thank you. Okay, so I'm not want to bring you under the law saying you must every day for everything you have, take a list and thank God. That's not the principle, okay? But just glorify God and say, thank you, Lord, for what you are doing here. Okay, so let's go a little bit back to Paul. He's going to travel. He's going to Judea and to Jerusalem. And he asked the church to pray for that two things. That the angry guys won't hurt him, okay? And that his ministry to the elders there will be acceptable, okay? Matthew Henry said about more than 300 years ago, he said, as God must be sought unto for the restraining of the ill will of our enemies, so also for the persevering and increasing of the goodwill of our friends. For God has the hearts, both of the one and the other, in our hands, in his hands, sorry. Okay? So what that means is our wills are in God's hands. Okay? God can move something in our hearts. God can lay something on your heart. Many times, I haven't thought about it, but maybe God will tell me now to pray for something specifically of the church, or to give something to someone that I didn't premeditate it. It just came to my heart. Okay? So God is God. He's the Alpha and the Omega, and he can, you know, he can do anything. So we are praying to our God that he will, that was what Paul was doing here. He was praying that God will minister to these groups that he can be protected and that his ministry will be okay. So let's go on a little bit. Then we go to Acts 21, verse 30. And let's see what is happening there at that moment. And you must kind of imagine the picture. And it says, and all the city was aroused, and the people rushed together, and taking hold of Paul, they dragged him out of the temple, and immediately the doors were shut. Okay, have you seen those type of Passion of the Christ DVDs? Those guys were hard those days. That's why when Paul said he got 40 stripes minus one, most of our pen pusher guys sitting in the office today, I'm not sure if we're going to handle it. Because the guys were a little bit more tough in a sense, because I think life was just more tough. Now, the point I want to make is, those guys dragged Paul there. And verse 31 says, and while they were seeking to kill him, you know, so they're trying to kill him. They're probably kicking him, they're throwing him with stones, hitting him with sticks and stuff. Paul must have lied there on the floor and thought like, Lord, was my prayers in vain? Yeah, I'm taking all the shots. I did ask the guys to pray with me, agree with me. What's happening? Where are you, God? Have you felt like that sometime in your life? that you have trusted for something and it just seems that things go wrong or even worse than you imagined. Okay, Paul must have, maybe I think he must have thought like that, that yo, things are really tough now. Okay, but here comes the good part. Verse 31, and while they were seeking to kill him, a report came up to the commander of the Roman cohort that all Jerusalem was in confusion, and at once he took along some of the soldiers and centurions, and they ran down to him. Okay, so this is the beautiful part. While Paul was lying there, I don't know how long it was, these guys were hurting him really, someone must have gone to the centurion. Someone must have gone there and say, well, this guy shouldn't be killed. And then the centurion reacted and he ran down with some soldiers and they intervened. Now, I believe that's where God, and then the rest, it says, and when they saw the commander and the soldiers, they stopped beating Paul. So what happened to Paul's prayer? It worked out for him. It worked out for him. The people stopped. Okay, he asked, but it was close. Okay, it was very close. He got hurt, probably he was bleeding and everything. But the point is, he was praying, he was trusting. Someone ran to the let's say the police of those days. The police came there and they stopped. And praise God for that. I think if I was Paul laying there, probably in my own blood, I would just say, praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that something happened, that you moved, that something stopped, that this mob of angry Jews stopped beating him. Okay, that's the point. That's the wonderful thing about what they were praying for. And that's what I want to encourage you guys on. Okay, read the newspapers, watch television. There's lots of unrest. There's lots of violence. There's lots of crime. Okay, there's many, I think Yaku told me there's 60 churches in Swakopmund. There's probably four times that much in Windhoek. But open a newspaper, usually there's a lot of bad news. Crime, abuse, corruption, those type of things. So we as the Christian church, we've got a lot of praying to do. You agree with me? Amen. There's a lot of work for us to do. And we can just go on and try our best. Wednesday afternoon, I had a meeting with my worship leader. And we put out at least 2 or 3 hours because we had a lot to talk about, me, him, and my secretary. And we started about 30 minutes on the lady that looks after my kids at home, because my wife is working. She phoned me and she said, my little dog, I've got a 6-month-old Jack Russell, he's lost, he's gone. Now there's people working at our house, they fixed a few things, and probably between watching the kids and these guys that have been there, he took the road, you know. Now he's a little teenager dog, so he will probably just go on. He doesn't know the neighborhood yet, okay. And when she phoned, I think like, now what am I going to do now? I'm sitting here in this meeting, but obviously Saunders, my worship leader, he could hear what I'm talking about. And he said, no, don't worry. Drive quickly home. Maybe you'll get him. He's just around the block or something. And I said, hallelujah, God, there's favor already. And I left, you know, and because the two of them, Saunders and our secretary, had some work to talk about. Now I'm getting in my car. And I just want to, you know, it's one of those moments I want to hurt someone now, because someone wasting my time. Someone didn't focus. Someone left the gate open. Now, whose fault is this? Is it this or that? But that's not, and I'm driving there in Robert Mugabe in Windhoek, and I'm angry, you know, because it's wasting my time. And for that day, it was the fourth time that I had been driving up and down. And the church is basically central Windhoek. And we're living at the most southern part of Olympia. So it's a lot of driving, because I took some material for the builders and I was just irritated. And I'm fighting there in my car with myself and some other people. And then the next moment, I just felt it so clearly. God say, or the Holy Spirit say to me, so what are you going to do now? It's one of those moments. And I think like, yeah, I know I'm guilty. I'm fighting the wrong fight in my head. I said, sorry, Lord, I'm going to pray now. And I just felt I should just pray. You know, I should just pray that my little dog gets back. Costed me $1,000, that little dog, and I love him. Okay? That's enough reason to get your dog back. Okay? And that's not even a, let's say, a big thing in life in many ways. Okay? And you know what? I just obeyed to what I felt in my spirit. I started to pray. I said, Lord, I trust that little Nossie will not be lost or driven over by a car or anything. And I've been praying maybe for 1 minute. And I got the SMS, he's back at home. And I say, praise God. Glorify God. Thank you, Lord. You, my time, my fuel, my everything. But the fact is, yes, it's great to have my dog back. And I trust he's still at home as I'm standing here. That he didn't try and do a MacGyver thing. But the fact is, at that moment, I just say, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. I glorified God. Okay? So you see something there. Paul laying there, I think he must have said, thank you, Lord. I praise you. I worship you. Because there's no way he could have stood up physically to a mob of, I don't know how many angry men. God intervened. Okay. But we continue a little bit. The danger isn't yet over in Paul's life. It's very interesting when you study these things. I'm one of those privileged guys that on any day on a 10 o'clock or what time, I can open scripture and I can study a little bit. And I trust you can make a lot of time or some time to have a nice commentary or a Bible. Go through it and grow and learn. It's really nice for all of us. It's a privilege. In Acts chapter 23, we will see there's more trouble in Paul's life. But remember now, he previously wrote to the church in Rome. And this is, we read in chapter 23, verse 16, it says, what happened? But the son of Paul's sister heard about the ambush, and he came and entered the barracks and told Paul. Now, what was happening? He overheard a conversation about I think it's 40 Jews. We'll see it here just now. They had this conspiracy. They want to kill Paul, okay? Because they didn't like him. They hated him. They want to end his life, end his ministry. So they took an oath and said, we are not going to eat before this guy is dead, okay? Now, if I'm standing here and I know there's 40 guys outside swearing, taking an oath, they're not going to eat before I'm dead, then I'm going to really, really start praying. Then you know things are tough. That's why I tell our church in Windhoek many times, life is good. Life is good for us as Christians. Things are quite easy still. I'm not the biggest prophet and telling you exactly what the end times, how things will work. But we see stuff is moving. Okay, things are progressing. We see some of the signs that Scripture talks about. And I know it's very easy. None of your cars are burned outside. None of you guys are probably having a hard time being, as I say, there's not 40 guys swearing and saying they're going to kill any of you to go from point A to point B or for myself. So I believe we're very privileged still. But let's continue here. And Paul's sister's son is coming here and he talks now. And he tells Paul about that. Now, let's see what happens next in Acts 23, verse 17 to 23. Paul called one of the centurions to him and said, lead this young man to the commander, for he has something to report to him. So he took him and led him to the commander and said, Paul, the prisoner called me to him and asked me to lead this young man to you since he has something to tell you. And the commander took him by the hand and stepped aside, began to inquire of him privately, what is it that you have to report to me? And he said, the Jews have agreed to ask you to bring Paul down tomorrow to the council, as though they were going to inquire somewhat more thoroughly about him. So do not listen to them, for more than 40 of them are lying in wait for him, who have bound themselves under a curse not to eat or to drink until they slay him. And now they are ready and waiting for the promise from you. Therefore, the commander let the young man to go, instructing him, tell no one that you have notified me of these things. And he called to him two of the centurions and said, get 200 soldiers ready by the third hour of the night to proceed to Caesarea with 70 horsemen and 200 spearmen. So they're getting quite a little bit of an army there. And that's the wonderful thing. That's the beautiful thing. God once again moved, he divinely intervened, because Paul probably would have, his ministry could have ended there. But God intervened once again through this boy, giving favor to the centurion, the guys in jail, and to send almost a small army with Paul to protect him. Because he prayed. He asked God to pray. And once again, I believe he was sitting in prison, knowing something like that is happening outside. I will just say, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you once again, that you came through for me. And then regarding the other thing that he was praying for in Romans in Romans 15, verse 30. We see the answer here in Acts 21, verse 70 to 20. Because, you know, as you stand here, as I'm standing here this morning, you know, we've got very, there's always, what will the people say? Do you think I'm preaching nonsense or theologically? Will it be great or this or that? You know, and Paul had the same thing. He thought like that his ministry, that it will be acceptable to the elders there. And here in Acts 21, 17, we read, and when he had come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. And now the following day, Paul went in with us to James, and all the elders were present. And after he had greeted them, he began to relate one by one the things which God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. And when they heard it, they began glorifying God. So obviously, when they began glorifying God, Paul must have known, praise God, these people's hearts are in line with mine. It's wonderful. Okay? So that was the second thing that Paul prayed for. He asked the church in Rome to pray with. He begged them. Okay? And it came to place. It happened. Okay? So that is wonderful. You know, and I've seen, you know, I've seen in our church, and I believe you guys will probably do the same. You know, many times someone in church will SMS me and say, Pastor, I'm going for an interview. Please agree with me. Please pray with me. Or this one is sick, or that happened. You know, and then I will send that SMS to a lot of typical intercessor people. People that I know will make time right now. And even if it's just for a minute or 5 or 10, intercede for that thing. Pray for that thing. Okay? And when that person goes for the interview and he or she gets the job, okay, remember it, not all things, maybe sometimes you shouldn't get a job or God wants something better for you, but the more people I have SMS'd that have prayed together, the more people can say, I can say in church then, I knew we prayed, not just me and that person, we prayed for person A to get the job, he got it, praise God, we can glorify God, okay, are you with me, are you hearing my heart this morning? I'm not trying to explain the theology of prayer or give you everything there. I just something specifically that I wanna sow here this morning and encourage you guys. Okay, that you pray together, that you agree together, that you just more and more take heart of this example, as you know, as Paul, a mighty man that I think most of us would look up to. If he asked people to stand in prayer with him, so much more we need it. So, Father God, I want to thank you this morning, Lord God. I want to thank you for your word, Lord. I want to thank you for scripture, Lord God, and for every example that you give to us, Lord. I want to thank you, Lord God, that you love us so much, Lord God, that you created creation, that you created things in a way, Lord God, that you want us to agree with you, to pray with you, that we can be co-laborers with you, Lord God, that through our prayers, Lord God, things can be moved, Lord God. And Father, I trust, Lord God, as your church, as your people, Lord God, that you will just give us a bigger heart to pray, Lord God, that we will just pray more and more, Lord God. And Father, as we see new people come to church, new salvations, new baptisms, Lord God, people that are not under curses anymore, anything like that, Lord, that we will raise our hands and just praise you and glorify your name, Lord, because you are worthy. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Father God. And I trust, Lord God, as we saw in Paul's life this morning, Lord, that it's okay to be scared, Lord God, scared of people or afraid of what they will think of me, Lord. And as we are sitting here, Lord, and there's maybe various fears in our lives or things we worry about, Lord, that we will come together as a church, as brothers and sisters, Lord God, and that we will close our eyes, Lord, and lift our hands to you, Lord, and that we will pray, that we will intercede, that we will ask, Lord God, and that we will glorify you, Lord God, as you open the doors, as you show us what to do, Lord. And we just want to thank you, Father God, and say, Lord, that it's such a privilege, Lord, to be your sons and daughters, Lord God, that we can be righteous before you, Lord God. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.